Do you like your name? Some people really like their name. First name, last name. Sometimes they want to speak of their background, perhaps boast of an illustrious ancestor or two. Other people do not like their names. They may even go so far as to legally change their names, perhaps to distance themselves from some sort of background. Children may sometimes wish they had a different name, perhaps of a well-known athlete or movie star that they admire. Of course, name changes aren't always for the better. A 26-year-old mechanic from England, who is a huge fan of the Toy Story series of movies, decided that Buzz Lightyear was a way cooler name than Steve Bolton. My girlfriend is going to love telling people she's going out with Buzz Lightyear, he said to a reporter. Somehow I doubt it. In older times, and especially regarding last names, those names identified what people did in a village. So a name like Miller meant the person milled wheat into flour. A name like Smith meant the person was a blacksmith or metal worker of some kind. Names like Carlson reveal the line of the family. So at some point there was the son of Carl, hence Carlson. In many ways, our names still work this way. Our names identify who we are, for better or for worse. Your name identifies you to the world. In Shakespeare's play, Romeo and Juliet, Juliet asks Romeo to deny his name for the sake of their love for each other. Oh, be some other name. What's in a name? That which we call a rose, by any other name, would smell as sweet. That is true enough. But many names do not leave behind a sweet smell. And those names are forever linked to misdeeds. Consider what we associate with such names as Hitler or Stalin. Benedict Arnold and Judas Iscariot are names that are synonymous with traitor. But there are good names and good identities as well. Names we associate with great achievements and good character. Names like Mother Teresa, Rosa Parks, Jonas Salk, Billy Graham, and others. But there's still another name, the name of the child whose birth we will soon celebrate, the Holy Child of Bethlehem. His is the name above every name. It was time to fulfill what God had promised centuries before, a promise announced through the prophet Isaiah. The day was coming when the sentinels guarding Israel would sing for joy because they were going to see the Lord God himself, eye to eye, face to face. God was coming to Israel in person. His arrival, his advent, was announced by the angel Gabriel to a young woman named Mary, who lived in the very small town of Nazareth. Mary would have a son, but a son with no earthly father. The Holy Child conceived in Mary's womb by the Holy Spirit will be the Son of God, God himself in human flesh. He would be a descendant of King David's royal family line. He would reign from David's throne. His kingdom would never end. And what was his name to be? Long, long ago, God revealed his name to Moses as I Am, transliterated into English as Jehovah or Yahweh, and most often printed in our Bibles as Lord in all capital letters. But what would be the human name for God himself? What should Mary name her little royal son, the very Son of God? Well, in Bible times, parents chose names carefully, just like parents do today. And the relatives of John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, expected that John would be actually named Zechariah after his father. And so everybody was surprised when they named him John. But that's what the angel told them to do, to name him John. Biblical parents might choose a name that reflected their hopes for their son or daughter. Asher means happy, so you would hope happiness. Hannah means grace or favor. You hope that she would receive favor. Mary and Joseph did not have to choose a name for their son. God gave them the name for his son, the wonderful name of Jesus. The angel revealed to Joseph the reason for the name. The child will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means salvation, or God saves. How does that name above every name, the name of Jesus, identify its owner? With what do you associate the name Jesus? Is that name associated with power, like a king? The King of Kings? Do you associate that name with sacrifice, like a lamb? Do you associate that name with humility, like a king given a crown of thorns, like a lamb sacrificed on the altar of a cross? The Son of God, though he was God in human flesh, did not exalt himself. He humbled himself. He was a servant. As the scripture says, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He sacrificed himself for the sins of the world, for your sins, and for mine. And because of that obedient sacrifice, God the Father raised his son from death and exalted him to reign at his right hand. The day will come when every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is exalted because he fulfilled the promise of his name. He saved his people. He saved us all from our sins. Now we, the people Jesus saved, bear his name. In the world, we carry his name, or more specifically, his title. The Christ is his title, and so we are called Christians. The Christ means anointed one. We are followers of the anointed Jesus. We are called Christians, Christ followers. Now, what do people think about when they hear that name? Does your life reflect the life of Jesus to people around you? If we're honest during this season of Advent, this season of repentance and preparation, we have to admit, we don't always live as though people around us could see the life of Jesus within us. We do not always share the love and compassion that Jesus showed to others. we do not always forgive as we have been forgiven. But that's why Jesus came. And that's the wonderful meaning of his exalted name. He will save his people from their sins. He came to save you and me from our sins, sins that earn the death penalty, so to speak, that earn the penalty of eternal separation from God's presence. Jesus was innocent of all sin. He carried our sins in his own body to that cross. And there he suffered the penalty that we earned for ourselves. God raised him from death and exalted his son, exalted the holy name of Jesus. And so, baptized into Christ, we have put on Christ. The exalted holy name of Jesus covers our own identities. His holy righteous identity covers our own sinful identities. In just a few weeks, and I don't know about you, but this is really hard to believe, we're going to celebrate the birth of Christ once again. We'll be like the sentinels of Zion, who broke out into joyful singing at the arrival of God in person. We will celebrate the birth of God in the flesh, the birth of Mary's Son, the Son of God, the Holy Child, who bears now and for all eternity the wonderful name of Jesus.